Hello and welcome to episode 34 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with by Sim Longa. And Sim, we have made it. The NCAA tournament is here. It is officially March Madness. We will talk all NCAA tournament. But let's first kind of touch on kind of how the regular season ended, Sim. A disappointing loss, I would say, to say the least. Not necessarily that they lost, but kind of how they lost, in an 86 to 68 loss against Michigan in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. Purdue scored the first 6 points of the game and then never led after that, and it was kind of all downhill after that. But Sim, kind of, it was almost a, Groundhog's Day, for lack of a better term, of kind of the same type of bugaboos that have been bothering this team, especially as of late. They kind of reared their ugly head again last weekend in Indianapolis.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, yeah, it's kind of become a sight that we've seen far too often, really since like the beginning of February, in terms of just the way that this team loses. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like they got off to that, like you said, they got off to that 6-0 start, and I was like, all right, cool. Like I just kind of figure, hey, you tread water and just kind of try to keep it close, and obviously in the second half maybe be able to take it home, because obviously being in Indy, it's going to be more of a pro Purdue crowd. But Michigan, I believe, ran off 12 straight right after that, and then it was just kind of like we were fighting to stay close. And even when going into half down 4, I was sitting there thinking like, it just seems like we worked so hard to just be down 4, just watching the way that we were playing, really on both sides of the ball. And so then, obviously it kind of felt like the will was broken in the second half. And obviously you can't, if you're not making shots and you're not able to contain on the defensive side, yeah, you're gonna run into problems. So I mean, and the crazy thing too is we didn't even turn the ball over that much. We only turned it over 5 times, but
Yeah, which is something that Purdue, I feel like, has done a better job of as of recently. But one thing that that just continues to be that issue is just, we kind of talk about it as the others. But man, you just Trey end up leading the way with 24 points, but he took 24 shots to get there. He did have 9 rebounds. I feel like man just is so close to a double double all the time. And then you had Braden was the next highest scorer at 12, but he was on 5 of 18 shooting, 2 of 10 from three. You get no points from CJ, no made field goals from Fletcher, 3 points from Cam, 4 points from Caleb. Like, those other guys really struggled. And we'll talk about Jakari a little bit because he was the one guy who I felt like really played his tail off. And so kudos to him. But man, like they shoot 7 of 22 from three. And if you take out Miles, who was 3 of 4 from three,
Jeez,
everybody other than
4 of
Miles was
18.
4 of 18 from three, man. And that's just like we've said it time and time again, it's just not going to get it done.
Yeah, man. And I mean, you get out rebounded. I mean, Michigan makes 8 more field goals than you do. I mean, I think too, it like the assist stat to me shows just how we were getting worked defensively, because they out assisted us 25-11. And I felt like what I constantly was watching was, a guy get past the first a Michigan player getting past the first defender, which then puts us into help. And then if you help, or if you depending on who it is you're guarding. So like you think about like if you're guarding like a guy like Namari Burnett, who like shoots the three pretty well, you're kind of that no man's land in terms of like, do I help or do I not? And so you help, they kick it out, hits a three. You don't help, and there's, I mean, getting beat on back cuts along the baseline. Yeah, it just again, like I said, start. It just was something. I think it was a style of performance that we've seen far too often, to our, at least far, like far too often to our liking, of course, since February. Again, yeah, another poor like second half performance too. So, yeah, just not great. But like you said, we made it to March. I mean, we've made it to the real part of March now. So maybe there's some better times ahead.
Yeah, a pretty disappointing game overall, but I did just want to highlight Jakari Harris, who, was really, for lack of a better term, just playing his ass off out there. He was getting to some loose balls. He was creating some easy layups. Finished with 11 points, 4 rebounds. 3 of 5 shooting, made all 4 of his free throws. To me, he was one of the lone bright spots out there. And, I had made the comment on Twitter, but I'm almost at the point where I feel like he's kind of earned his way back into the starting lineup. If not the starting lineup, one of the first guys off the bench. He ended up playing 21 minutes in this game, which was more than which was the most for any guy off the bench and more than CJ Cox, who started. So he still got time. But man, he is really earning a lot more minutes with his play of late.
Yeah, I'd say just the way that, yeah, like you said, the way he's played as of late, I just think about that more from a big picture standpoint in terms of, if he's able to have this kind of progression as we get like to the end of the season, you just kind of, you're just, it makes you that much more hopeful, that more optimistic that, going into, his sophomore year, we can see even, we can see like continued growth. And I agree with you. I think that, I don't know necessarily if you'll see him in the, if we'd see him in the starting lineup, but definitely I'm not opposed to him being, first or second guy off the bench. I just think the way he's played really on both sides of the ball, and I think his offensive game, starting to come along has been really, really helpful. I mean, he played 21 minutes and he didn't have a single foul and he drew three and he had three steals. Like his stat line is actually was really, really good in a sea of bad. 11 points, what, 11 points, 4 rebounds. He was what, 1 of 3 from th I mean, it was 3 of 5 from the field, just 4 of 4 from the line. He had 3 steals. Obviously, you'd like to see him hit more than 1 3, but no, I mean he had a solid game and it's in very efficient. So I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him get a little bit more run, a little longer leash. And if that does mean he gets into the starting lineup, well then all right, come on now, let's go.
Yeah. So, hopefully that is a sign of things to come for him. But, like we said, it's time to go to March. The slate is wiped clean. Sin, like I'm for one, and I think we talked about this off air. I think one of the most exciting things for me personally with the tournament is Purdue just gets to play a new team. You don't have, there's no Big Ten officials, just kind of a chance to reset. And it's essentially a brand new kind of season here. And the opportunity is right there. We'll talk about how this seeding is, and kind of the draw that they got. But just in general, man, it's just going to be nice to kind of start fresh, play a team, that we haven't played a few times, and really get some officials that don't run with their knees touching the sky.
yeah, man. No, I agree. I think if there is a point to one of the points of like to be optimistic is obviously like in March, like once you get like it's like once you get announced into the tournament, whatever you've done doesn't really matter now because now you have to go out. You have to win the game that's in front of you. It doesn't matter how many wins you had or what or and how many quad wins or quad one, quad two, like none of that matters now. Everyone who's in, and you kind of just have to go. But yeah, I think for us in terms of like, I feel like the beating that we took at like towards the back end of the Big Ten schedule. And yeah, I think we've all seen some points throughout each of probably like say the last like 9, 10 games where you've looked at some of the officiating and you've raised an eyebrow. So it'll be nice to, like you said, to just kind of have a fresh start and hopefully be able to get some better officiating, but also just hopefully it's a refresher for the team in terms of like you know you're playing against people who don't necessarily know you as well as conference foes do. So hopefully that you know guys kind of look at this as like okay look now we can rejuvenate ourselves per se. You know we can go out here and we can go out to get some wins and really leave ourselves with a good taste on how the season is.
Yeah, so let's kind of talk about like the seeding and the draw that the Boilermakers got. So they are the number four seed in the Midwest bracket. And interestingly enough, like I don't know about you, Sim, but I was kind of surprised to see that they got the four seed. I thought they were probably going to be a five, but it really wasn't even close. If you look at the total rankings, I think they were 14th, which means like they weren't even on the line of a four or five seed. They were pretty firmly right there at a four, which I thought was kind of interesting. I think to me that speaks to the non-conference schedule that they played, and the wins that they got. I think I saw they beat five NCAA tournament teams in the non-con, at least four. But you know, a team that has 11 losses to be a four seed, you know, I think it just speaks to that schedule. And we had talked about it at the time, how you want to test yourself and, you know, how those games will help you come March. And sure enough, I think they did.
Yeah, no, I think that yeah, it definitely does reflect the value, the weight that I think the non-conference schedule carries because I think if you don't have as strong as a non-conference schedule because we have what games against Ole Miss, Bama, I think we played NC State, Texas
Yale.
A&M, like there were some good teams that we played and I think if you don't have those but then you finish off the Big Ten season the way that we did. Probably a five or a six, to be quite honest. But I think yeah, that definitely held some weight, and I mean that's good for us, I guess. Yeah, you know, get a four because I'm with you. I thought they would. I thought depending on how they did in the Big Ten tourney, they could really lock up a four. And to me, in order to lock up a four, I actually thought they needed to make it to Saturday. So when they lost, I was like, all right, we're probably gonna be a five. And then I was worried about, okay, well, is it going to be like the third five, the fourth, fifth, you know, like the fourth, the number of the fourth, number five seed? Is so, yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, four seed is definitely more than what I expected, but I'm not going to be, it's hard to be mad about that, you know, it's still like, I mean, because the season's still been fairly good. I mean, you're 22-11, you made the tournament. We'll see what happens next now.
So the 10th straight trip to the NCAA tournament for Purdue, which is the fourth longest streak in America. And also something I thought was pretty cool. You know, we always talk about like the golden era, and things that we're witnessing, and we kind of talk about it like within, you know, like the past 2 or 3 years. But now, this is the eighth straight tournament where Purdue has been at least a four seed. So I mean that is the best streak in the country by 4 years. So it's not even close. But just kind of speaks to just the level of consistency, for, Coach Paint and his staff and, you know, the entire program. But you know, just kind of wanted to highlight that a little bit because, you know, saw a lot of things on Twitter this weekend, a lot of people upset. You know, a lot of blame was going around about the year and all of this. But, you know, I don't know about you, Sim, but like if you get a four seed in a quote unquote rebuilding year, and it's the eighth straight year you've gotten at least a four seed, I think you're doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, hell, I would just look at who did you play in the national championship game last year? You played UConn, and UConn was supposed to be, I believe, was preseason higher than us and supposed to be better than us. And I think they're what, an eight seed? So I mean
But
that
I
was
know they're in
even
the
that's
8-9
even with
game.
right. That's even yeah. They were an eight seed. Playing a nine seed Oklahoma. So You look at that and it's like, all right, and that's a year where, UConn wasn't necessarily expected to be in a rebuilding year per se, and here they are finding themselves at an 8 seed. And so yeah, for us, like I mean, yeah, it's fair. Like, of course this year wasn't as enjoyable as really the last two have been. But that being said, all things considered, yeah, you're still going as a four. And like you said, it shows to the consistency, that stat about, eight straight years of being eight straight tournaments of being a 4 seed or higher. I mean, that speaks to, yeah, the consistency that Paint and the staff have been able to build in this program. And for that, we should be very thankful, to know that even in the years when it's not as sunshine and rainbows, that we're still out here getting a 4 seed. I think there's a lot of programs who would like to have that type of consistency.
Definitely, including the one down south.
I
But
wasn't gonna say I wasn't gonna say it, but all right then.
so as the 4 seed in the Midwest, the Boilermakers will head to Providence, Rhode Island. I believe they are already there. I think they took off today, Tuesday the 18th, to head out to Providence, and they will take on the 13 seed High Point. Come in 29-5 on the year. It's one of the first games of the actual tournament. It'll be Thursday at 12:40 p.m. Eastern time.
It's ruined my hopes
So
Thursday.
we'll know early on if it's going to be a fun tournament or not. We'll know very early on. But it will be on True TV. You'll have Andrew Callatin, Steve Lapis, and Evan Washburn on the call.
That's a good
And
crew.
it's kind of an interesting matchup, obviously, and we talked about it some last week on the broadcast, to just be ready that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have High Point as their upset pick. It seems like damn near everybody that has done a bracket I've seen has High Point upsetting Purdue. I know Seth Davis on the selection show was real quick
Bruh, man's damn
to
near blew a
call
load.
that out.
He damn near blew a load between them and McNeese State getting that one off. He was like, "Yep, right now, High Point McNeese, bam." Because I think he said McNeese. He had McNeese State in the Sweet 16. I was like, "Damn, Seth, like just like let it breathe for a little bit. Like let us like finish the round of applause for getting in."
Yeah, I don't even think the ink was dry yet on the bracket, and he
Right.
already had them. But he is not alone. I've seen it pretty much across the board, that it's a very popular upset pick. I will stress that most of the time, the quote unquote upset picks, like the ones that everybody says is gonna happen,
There you go.
usually doesn't happen. So maybe that's maybe that'll bode well for Purdue. But Sim, this High Point team is very interesting because, one, they can really score the basketball. They're one of the best offensive teams, one of the most efficient offensive teams in the country. Obviously, like we said, 29-5. I believe they've won 14 in a row. They last lost on January 16th. However, you say all that, and they have not played a quote unquote Power Five or big name school this entire season. The most, I guess, highly recognizable name is probably going to be UAB on their schedule. Other than that, it's a lot of mid-major teams. Yeah, they can score. They do tend to give up a lot of points as well. But it's one thing, like, it's just hard to kind of gauge a team when you really don't have a lot to compare them to as far as like similar opponents, or kind of how they stacked up against, higher competition. That's not to say like to take them lightly at all. It's just kind of really hard to gauge, like, how good are they?
Yeah, I mean when you yeah, 'cause like they when you we're going through and you're looking at the stats like I'm looking at them right now and like there's the game score. So they lost to UNC Asheville They played UNC Asheville twice. They split it 1-1, and they gave up 100 to UNC Asheville, at least 100 in both games. They gave up 103 in the game they lost and 100 in the game that they won. So you see stuff like that, and like you said, when you don't, when like, I mean, the names aren't, they're recognizable in terms of the teams that they play, but like you said, UAB is probably the one that's more across the board. Like people would know, like, oh yeah, I know UAB. You just don't know how much to take, even like one way or the other, in terms of what will make you feel good or what will make you feel bad. You don't really know kind of like how much weight to put either on either side, because it's not like they have, a non-conference schedule that includes some power fives that are more familiar, to where you could say, oh, okay, yeah, I've seen this team play. Okay, yeah, so that's, if they did that against them, you can kind of, figure that out. You can try to do your own like kind of deductive come to your own conclusion. But yeah, I mean, they definitely score. They definitely score. And I think what they give up, about like, what is it? Yes, about just shy of 69 points a game. But again, you think about the competition and you're like, well, probably, are we better than most of the teams that they've played in, like conference and whatnot. So yeah, it's like you said, it's the popular upset pick, but I
Yeah.
don't,
And
there's, I can see a way. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that I agree with the fact that like, oh, High Point's gonna beat us. I don't stand on that.
I mean, let's call a spade, like the reason that I think, well, one of the reasons why it's such a popular pick is Purdue has struggled as of late against mid-major programs in the tournament. I mean, since 2020, 2021 tournament, Purdue was 3-3 against mid-major schools. And as we just talked about, they've been a 4 seed or higher in all of those. So, they have lost a couple games as the higher seed. Of course, everybody's going to point out the 1-16, but they were a 4 seed and lost to a 13 seed before. So it can happen. But I think, when you have so many question marks about a team, specifically a team like High Point, who, just flat out hasn't played anyone, I think it just speaks to kind of like what Purdue needs to do is just do what they do. And, not really worry about High Point. I think anybody looking at paper is going to agree that Purdue is the better team. And so just be the better team. And go out there and take care of your business. To me, it kind of has the feel of the game on Thursday against USC, where, it was a game where Purdue should have won. Purdue didn't, kind of run away from them. I don't know if we were ever super stressed about it. But that's kind of the feel that I'm getting with this game. But it's just gonna come down to what we've talked about recently. And it's I hate to beat a dead horse, but like are the role players going to step up and play? Because you know what you're going to get from Braden. You know what you're going to get from Trey. I would bet that Fletch is going to have a bounce back game. I don't see Fletch having 2 games in a row where he doesn't make a field goal. I think, he's going to get his. But the question is going to be, what are you going to get from Miles? What are you going to get from Cam? What are you going to get from CJ? You can go down the whole list, and those guys in spurts have played well lately, but now's the time where you really need them to play well as a unit.
Yeah, no, the way we talked about, when they would have a good game during the season, about how like, yo, we, we're looking for that consistency, but we were able to get a, we were able to win games with not necessarily having that. Like, you're at the time of the year now where like that's not going to work for you. And I would argue that actually that time came last week, because Miles and Cam combined in that USC game for 17 points and 16 rebounds. I know they didn't do that for obviously the Michigan game. If they are, I think it's kind of swings with them. If they're out here combining for, upwards of 20 and 20, yeah, I think Purdue wins. Like, we win I would say comfortably. I'm not gonna say like it's, you know, be a 30, 40 point beatdown, but I think it would definitely be like comfortably in the sense of like we kind of have control of the game. We have, you know, we have control of the game. But if you're gonna get, you know, 3 points from one and two from another, and then, you know, you're not getting anything, like you said, outside of Braden and TKR, and maybe, you know, just a couple field goals from Fletch, like, yeah, you're gonna be in some trouble. You're going to be some trouble. And I think that, like you said, I think our like Purdue's history against some of these mid majors, the lower seeds, I think their history. And then I would also say just the recency bias of kind of what we've seen over the last, what, 9 games, and how the issues of like the same issues have kind of come up, the rebounding, the just the on-ball defense, the help side defense, the, you know, contributions you're getting from others. Those are all going to be the things that determine whether or not this team wins. I kind of hope that they have the mindset now of like, no, we have to go out and we have to expect that we're going to have to like take games from people. Like, they're not going to give them to us. We're not just going to come out here and they're going to lay down. 'Cause I kind of agree with you. I think you mentioned it before, like, I don't think that like in some of those games I'm thinking back to in my head, I don't think Purdue played like Purdue. Like, I think that they were more like, oh, like it was more worrying about the opponent than being like, well, but what we like, but we're good. So like they have to worry about us. That's how this goes. Like, not us, we not we worrying about them, but like we gotta come out, show them this is how it's gonna go. And I felt like, because in you think about those games, like I'm thinking about actually the North Texas game, we were talking about it before we started. Purdue got down like I think like 15 or 18 in that game. What the hell are you doing getting down? Where the hell are you doing getting down that much to a, you know, to a mid-major, a team like North Texas, who I believe got the shit kicked out of them the next game. You know, St. Peter's kind of the same way. I felt like we played more and more afraid in that game. And then what happens? St. Peter's finds North Carolina, and North Carolina takes them out back and straight belt to ass. But I felt like in those games we didn't play like us, and if we had, we would have won. And that's kind of how I feel now. Is like you play like Purdue and you'll win, you'll be fine. You don't, yeah, you might have some problems.
Yeah, and one issue that those teams of past have kind of ran into, and I think will be very interesting to watch come Thursday, is, they never really put the teams away. And anytime you just let a team hang around, especially come, March and the tournament time, you're just asking for trouble. If you let a team hang around, kind of let them, build a little bit of
Belief.
confidence.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see, because that's one thing that in those games that Purdue lost to the mid-major higher seeds, however you want to look at it, they don't get off to good starts, and they let
Hang
that
around.
team hang around.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with that, because as you've talked about too, like, this is a team that has struggled as of late in second halves. So ideally you kind of want to get kind of take control of the game early.
Yeah.
That'll be kind of the main thing that I think I'll watch, just like in general, is like, all right, are we gonna let them hang around? Because if so, I might have to take off the rest of the day from work.
Right. No, I agree, man. I agree. I think, yeah, getting off to a good start is going to be important. And I mean, looking at this North Carolina San Diego State game, if they want to do that, that's also cool. You know, we always want to make sure we put that out there. But yeah, I just like they like and the other thing too is when you're the higher seed and then like the lower seed starts to make a run, especially in the second half, like because these are usually, you know, on neutral courts, and like, you know, you have people in attendance who aren't necessarily who don't have a dog in the fight per se. But in those situations, it can become a road environment, because as a spectator, if you're sitting there and you're on the cusp of seeing an upset, you're like, oh heck yeah, and it has nothing to do with your team. Yeah, I want to see this. And so that's the other part of why I think, especially in the tourney, putting teams away is so important, because if you let them hang around and some stupid shit happens, now all of a sudden, they're down a couple possessions and you have, like with, a minute and some change or 2 minutes left, that's gonna feel like a road game. That's gonna feel like a road game, because outside of the people who came to support you and maybe the people who have like a parlay or some type of straight bet that are on, that's on Purdue, everyone else is gonna want Purdue to lose. Everyone will.
Yeah, and some kind of just to kind of wrap up like high point and kind of what to look for. I think, there's a couple of names that kind of stick out, but to me the interesting matchup is gonna be, so High Point starts a 7 foot center from Cameroon, and I apologize if I butcher the name of Jeslin Bodo-Bodo. He averages 8.4 rebounds a game. And that's kind of been an area where Purdue has really struggled rebounding the basketball. And not normally does Purdue kind of not have the tallest guy out on the court, but when the game starts, they won't. And so kind of that matchup of Bodo Bodo against either Trey or Caleb, whoever draw. I'm gonna assume it's gonna be Caleb starting out, but that's just a guess. That's gonna be like a very interesting matchup, and especially on the glass, especially on the defensive glass for Purdue, is making sure to win that battle and not give High Point second and third chance opportunities.
Yeah, I'd agree, man. I think, yeah, just when you talk about coming out to start, you need a good game from, we're talking about the others, and of course, like, I was kind of channeling my energy more into Cam and Miles, but I believe Caleb's gonna be big in this too. Caleb picks up, some early fouls, like that's gonna be a problem. That's gonna be a problem because you need his size to be able to neutralize what Bodo does, and like you said, we need to be like, when we have a good defensive possession, you force a missed shot, you have to get that rebound, you have to close that out. And because again, that's part of the stuff where you're giving them second and third chances, and we talk about, allowing a team to have confidence and think they can hang around. That's, that between, I think between rebounds and turnovers, that's kind of your biggest way to aid a team who's going after an upset. So you're definitely going to need a big game. I mean, a big game from Caleb. I don't want to say that, Caleb needs to have, 10, 12 rebounds himself. If he wants to do that, that's great. Absolutely. But I just think that, like, physically, his presence in terms of being able to box out, and just make it harder on just to make it more difficult, I think it could be the stuff that doesn't show up in the box score, and we could still sit here, and say, hey, Caleb, he played really well this game. It could be one of those games where, he might only have, 5 rebounds, maybe 2 points, but we would know, hey, look, like he played really well. He played really well,
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's gonna be the matchup that I think to watch for. The other kind of interesting thing, and I think it kind of speaks to kind of some balanced scoring from High Point, who, like we said, is one of the most efficient offensive teams in the country. But their leading scorer, Keza Giffa, a senior from Paris, he only averages 14.8 points a game. And I shouldn't say only, like that's like real low, but for a team that scores it as well as they do, I would have thought that they would have had a guy, that's in like the 20, 25 point range. Usually when you see mid-major teams, they got like one kind of alpha dog, that kind of leads the way in scoring. But High Point seems kind of more of a balanced team, and a lot of different guys that can score.
Right. No, I agree. I think, yeah, I was more so expecting a guy to be in the 20s than maybe another guy in the mid-teens, and another guy maybe in the low in the on the like low teens, maybe like, around 10 to 13. But yeah, just the fact that their leading scorer only averages just shy of 15 a game lets you know that they will do this by committee if need be. Like, they have guys who can score, who are willing, who look to score, I should say. They have guys who look to score and can score. Because I think, just looking here at their roster, is what, three six. They have six guys who average six or more, and then the next two after that are each average over five. So I mean, that's they're getting pretty good contribution from, the what the fourth through eighth person on their roster. So yeah, again, that's very interesting. That's very interesting, and it speaks more to the. I think it speaks to the fact that everyone needs to be locked in defensively. On for Purdue, everyone needs to be locked in because your guy is capable of scoring. You should like that's kind of just. I feel like that's the way you need to look at it. It's not even. I don't even think they're necessarily like the. They shoot the three. I think they shoot like 35, 36% as a team. There's one guy in particular who kind of really sticks out. I'm forgetting what his name is right now. I think it might be Chase Johnston. Yeah, I think yeah, 'cause yeah, Chase Johnston shoots. He shoots 43% from three. But clearly, like I said, going back to the points, like people, they don't have. It doesn't have to be threes. Like they have guys who look to score, and because of that, then you can't the falling asleep and allowing your mind man to back cut you and stuff like that. Like that has to be at a minimum. It has to be at a minimum.
Yeah, I would agree. And so those kind of be some interesting things to look at. I did just kind of want to highlight as well, if Purdue wins, then they will go ahead and they will play the winner of Clemson McNeese State, which is a very interesting game as well. A game against two coaches who you could argue IU probably should have hired as their next head coach. And they didn't. We'll see if that works out. But Brad Brownell at Clemson and then Will Wade, a big up and coming coach at McNeese State. That's kind of an interesting game too. A lot of upset picks are going with McNeese State in that one. That's, I'm assuming, the classic 5-12 type of upset. Probably also looking at Clemson being a 5 seed from the ACC, in a down year.
Right.
But if you get past High Point, you play one of those two teams, which will be a very interesting game. And then if you can get to the Sweet 16, all of a sudden you're playing in Indianapolis. One of the benefits of being the 4 seed in the Midwest region there is that the Sweet 16 and Elite Games will be in Indy. So you have a chance to be essentially right in your backyard if you can get there. Now, granted, obviously you got to get there first, but it would be pretty cool to see Purdue in Indianapolis for another Sweet 16 game. Can just imagine, kind of how raucous that crowd would be there.
Yeah, no, I like you said, it's a long way between like us being like where we're at now and then and getting to that point. But I genuinely think, man, if you see that team, I would say more so in the second half of the of that USC game. I feel like that's about right. But if you again, if you get contributions from others, like we were talking about earlier, there's a way obviously to beat North Point and beat them. I mean, at the end of the day, win however the hell you'd win, but. There's a way for Purdue if they're playing their brand of basketball that I believe that they should be able to win, by several possessions. And then yeah, depending on how the way that McNeese Clemson game shakes out, because that like you mentioned at the top of the episode, like a lot of people who have been talking about upset picks and whatnot have that second round match as a 12-13. A lot of them have it as a 12-13. So you could go and find High Point and beat them, and then all of a sudden find McNeese State, and they've been playing really well. So I mean, obviously. Either team you find is not going to be it's not going to be easy, but yeah, I mean you're 2 games away from the from then really being back home, and then you never know, you get that far into the tournament, you don't know what's going to play out on the other sides, and maybe you have a game where you go unconscious from three. I feel like it's been a while since we've had one of those games, so that'll be nice to have. But yeah, man, there's a path there. There's a path. I think it's just gonna more so come down to us. It's not gonna be about the other teams. I just think it's gonna come down to how do we play? Because if we play the way that we played, when we were really rolling earlier this year, then yeah, I don't see how they don't make it out of the first weekend. But if this is more of the if it's more of the same of what we've seen recently, you might be able to skate by on Thursday, but then you would probably be you might meet the end on Saturday. And it's just gonna be a lot harder of a task, and kind of would be a shame if like you have the Sweet 16 and the opportunity to play in the Sweet 16 in Indy, and you don't even get there. That would be very unfortunate. And so we hope, we wish, we pray that that is not the case. But again, it starts on Thursday, and just kind of what Purdue team are you gonna see? We're finally gonna get the
Yeah,
consistency
and
we need.
one thing I did want to highlight too is we're kind of talking about, getting a chance to play in your backyard. So for CJ Cox, these games in Providence, he kind of gets to play in his backyard.
Oh, yeah, from
CJ
Massachusetts, huh?
from Lexington, Massachusetts,
It's
which is
crazy,
about an
man.
hour drive from Providence. So by far the closest game that's PJ will have to his hometown. So you got to think he's going to have a lot of friends and family in the crowd there. So that'll be cool
Probably.
for him and to have all his friends and family there. But yeah, man, like we said, it's very cliche, but you just got to take this stuff one game at a time. And it all gets started on Thursday again, Thursday at 12:40 p.m. So make sure you take a long lunch on Thursday there. Game will be on True TV. And yeah, well, like I said, we will see kind of if it's going to be a fun tournament or not. We'll know very early on. Sim, I don't know about you, but I'm one where, especially if Purdue loses early on, I find a hard time watching games the rest of the weekend just out of anger.
No, I'm the same way. Yeah, I was there a couple years ago, and I didn't watch a whole lot of basketball that first that the rest of that weekend, and I kind of was kind of here and there. Really, the rest of it, I just was kind of it, yeah, it soured me a certain kind of way, and I feel like that always happens. So the fact too that it's 12:40, I mean, there might be two, maybe two, three games going on. And then that happens, and just miss out on the whole rest of the weekend. But hopefully that's not the case, man. I really I'd like to see this Purdue team put together a good performance on Thursday, and then be able to kind of back that up on Saturday. I just yeah, I'd really like to see that. And I just yeah, I think it'd be a nice way to a nice turn, because it's been so turbulent lately. So
Yeah.
also too, you were saying take a long lunch. Nah, yo. You gotta, hey, you coming down with something? Coming, I'm not feeling well,
Go
boss man.
ahead
I gotta, you know what I'm
and take
saying? Like,
that PTO that day, huh?
right, I'm taking, like, yo, I'm sick, boss man. I might be back tomorrow. I might be back tomorrow, but like, just, I just need a few more hours.
I would probably go out on a limb and venture that this Thursday and Friday are probably the two most requested days off of the year across the
I'm pretty sure there's a stat
country.
that like that actually like has confirmed that. They're like, yeah, that these are the days where like these are two of the most like requested days off, which
if
I
you're
don't
not
blame.
if you're not off work, you're not really working anyway. So
Was gonna say,
I'm
let's call it
sure as
like it
far
is.
as productivity is probably not the highest these 2 days out of the year.
Right. But you know what? I'll try to make up for another day.
Real
Yo.
quickly, Sim, kind of before we wrap up basketball talk, I did just want to kind of highlight we would be remiss if we didn't give a shout out to Braden Smith. It was announced earlier today that he was named first team AP All American, joining Jani Broome of Auburn, Cooper Flagg of Duke. Alabama's Mark Sears and Florida's Walter Clayton Jr. And if you missed it, Trey Kaufman got honorable mention, which is just bananas to me. Especially when you see a guy like
Hunter
cough cough
Dickinson.
Hunter Dickinson get it.
Jesus.
But what do I know? I don't do those voting, but how you can watch those two and say that Hunter is better than Trey, I don't understand. But
You're handling it really well.
saw the stat, and I just wanted to highlight it because to me it's a really cool stat and kind of again speaks to just not only the golden era, but just I feel like Purdue gets kind of thrown under the rug as far as like a blue blood. And I understand, like, you got to win, like, you
To win
got to have
multiple championships.
national championships. And they got the first one off their back with the Final Four last year. But, I feel like not a lot of people would have gotten this that or like this trivia question right. But with Braden Smith being named first team All-American, Purdue is now second in the country with the most All-Americans behind Kansas. So they have 29 now, all first team All-Americans, one ahead of North Carolina, two ahead of Kentucky, and five more than Duke. So shout out to Doug Griffiths on Twitter for that. But man, that just like I said, if you would have asked 100 people on the street who are the top two teams in the country as far as the most all Americans, I would be willing to bet you don't get a lot of people saying Purdue, if any.
No way. Yeah, I was gonna say, man. When you told me the stat before we started recording, my jaw dropped. I was like, I didn't realize that. And like, I was looking at a list and you see like, it goes back to as far back as 1910. And as to when Purdue had an All-American in basketball. And so, like you said, we're not. If they're talking, you're talking about the qualifications of being a blue blood, and obviously there's some things that Purdue's missing on that resume. And yeah, you knocked off a Final Four last year, but obviously you still have to get the whole thing. But I feel like that's a stat that stat you mentioned is one that kind of says, okay, well, look, like Purdue's like we've been good at basketball. Like we've had a lot of good, solid players who've come through, and we've had our fair share of special players. Because I don't think it's just, I think it is special players who do find themselves as being consensus All-Americans or even second or even third third team All-Americans. Those are special players. And so to know that we have been, we're second to only Kansas on a stat like that. Like again, look, when you think about it, you have North Carolina, Kentucky, and Duke and UCLA who are all behind us. That's just yeah. That's it's a crazy. It's a mind-blowing stat to me. Honestly, it really is.
It is. It is. But shout out to Brain Smith, who just like continues to add trophies to the trophy case. Was already named Big Ten Player of the Year, All American. I think before it's all said and done, he probably is going to be the most decorated player. Obviously, like Edie's gonna be like the two-time National Player of the Year, but as far as most honors, I think Braden is gonna be right up there with him. You gotta think too, like looking ahead to next year, like Braden's gotta be the preseason player of the year. And just he's gonna end up probably having the most assists in NCAA history. And you can go on and on, but shout out to Braden for first team All-American AP. And Trey, you got robbed, man. I'm sorry. Like, that's just, I don't
Yeah, no,
understand that.
I didn't. I mean, I felt like Kansas had a pretty underwhelming year, and I think they would probably agree with that as well. And what they're a 7 seed, yeah, they're a 7 seed, and yeah, I was kind of surprised by that too. I figured that I didn't think Trey was going to be first team All-American, but
Right.
I figured he was going to be at least. I figured he was going to be third at the very worst. And yeah, so I saw that and I just kind of chuckled to myself, like, oh, okay. Well, again, like you said, what do I know? I just podcast about sports. I don't really know them, so.
Yeah, you're one of the best players in the conference, but apparently not overall.
Right. Well, cool. Cause yeah, cause I'd be curious to see like a guy like Hunter Dickinson. What were his postseason accolades? Like, what were his regular season accolades? Like, was he Big 12 Player of the Year? Was he? I know he wasn't that, but like, was he first team All Big 12? Because if he wasn't, but then you're third team All-American, that math doesn't math. But again, what do I know? Just a regular guy.
Maybe he got in on seniority since he's like 28 years old. So
Maybe.
I don't know. But anyways, nevertheless, Trey, you got robbed, but I have a feeling Trey will be back, and Trey will be on that list next year. one of those three teams. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Trey is an All-American next year. Crazy take, I know, but
Hey, early
think he'll just
reaching
kind of use that as motivation there.
there. Yeah.
Real quickly, Sim, before we wrap up, I did just want to kind of highlight the baseball team. Had another good week. They continue to kind of be on a hot streak. They've won four in a row now. They took essentially swept UIC over the weekend. They only got two games in as the game on it was originally slated for that's Saturday evening, got rained out, and then got rained out again on Sunday. And then they played Milwaukee earlier today, beat them 12-8. And now they'll kind of have a real interesting matchup this weekend as they got Michigan at home, and a chance to kind of, not
Make some noise.
necessarily say you're for real,
Right.
but a chance to kind of back up your play here early on.
Yeah, no, I think you play those non-conference games, those early season games, and you're able to rack up some wins. But then once you start playing some of your conference competition, that's where you start sweeping those series, and now people are gonna have to start, you're gonna start turning more eyeballs with each win, And so, yeah, obviously, there's still quite a bit of ways to go in the season, but the point that they're at right now is really, really encouraging, and you hope that that continues against Michigan. They can hopefully avenge the basketball team.
Yeah, so they'll play Friday at 4 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m., and then Sunday they'll wrap up the three game set at 1 p.m. All games of course at Alexander Field, and all games on Big Ten Plus. So good luck to the baseball team there for another big weekend. And last thing, kind of before we head out, just want to give everybody a shout out and just let you know, please go check out we have a First and Gold group on the ESPN Bracketology. So if you think you can pick your teams better than Sim and I, which you probably can, go ahead and hop in there and see what you got. Spoiler alert, Purdue's going deep in my bracket. But go ahead and join that, and we can trash talk all about that. Make sure to give us a follow on Twitter. Thank you everybody for listening, for the 5-star reviews. Really appreciate that. One last reminder: Thursday, 12:40 tip off, True
Eastern,
TV,
12:40
12:40
Eastern.
Eastern. Good call out. 12:40 Eastern, True TV. Purdue and High Point. It is tournament time, and we'll see how the Boilers bounce back after that Michigan game. I think, Sim, both you and I are in agreement that they're going to come out with a win. I think we're also both in agreement it's going to be, I wouldn't say like a blowout or a nail biter, but I think you said it well when you said like a few baskets. I think kind of maybe like in the 8 to 12 point range is kind of where I'm seeing this one. And yeah, man, let's just go stack some wins.
Right. I was gonna say, man, at this point, like in the year, the style points don't matter. And of course, the thing about like last year, and especially the first two games, they just absolutely beat the shit out of I think it might have been what, Grambling State, and then it was Utah State. But at the end of the day, as long as you win, that's what matters, because then you get to advance. So yeah, it might not be, a 20, 30-point beatdown, but as long as Purdue wins, we'll all be happy. And if they do that again on Saturday, where they just find a way to win, then we'll be happy again. And if they did it four more times after that, believe me, we will be happy about that.
The road to San Antonio starts on Thursday. Like I said, let's just get this one, and we'll go from there. But again, Thursday, 12:40 p.m. Eastern tip, True TV. No matter what happens, Sim and I will be here to break it all down. Hopefully, we are talking about a victorious weekend. But win or lose, we will be here to discuss it, and most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.